Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Nun Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 13 lines from the top. The Mishnah opens up, the Gemara opens up with a quote from the Mishnah that was back on Daf Nun Aleph, Omid Beis. The Mishnah there had spoken about someone who was conveying Peros Shvius, fruits of the Shemitah year, from one region to another, from an area where the fruits were no longer in season to an area where the fruits were in season, or vice versa. Rabbi Yehuda appears in the Mishnah as the second opinion, but the Tanakhama, back there on Daf Nun Omid Beis, 4 lines from the top, he ruled that you have to get rid of the fruits. That is the din of Bi'ur Shvius, that when fruits are no longer available or in season, where they're not growing in the outdoors and hence not available to the Chayas HaSodah, to the animals of the fields, so you have to get rid of your Shemitah fruits of that particular variety. Rabbi Yehuda then reacts in a fashion that seems to indicate leniency, where he says, "Tzei v'hovei l'cho af ato." Let us now turn our attention to the Gemara. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it seems that he denies the idea that you impose a restriction on the person. And hence the Gemara asks, "Veles lei the Rebbe Yehuda Hadasnander, does Rebbe Yehuda not hold from that which our Mishnah teaches, Noisin olav chumrei hamokum sheyotza misham, v'chumrei hamokum sheholach l'sham?" In the Tanakhama scenario, you saw someone going from a place where the fruits were still in season, and he ends up in a place where the fruits are no longer in season. It seems from Rabbi Yehuda that the fellow who arrives with these Shemitah fruits coming from a place where they were still in season, and hence no need to get rid of them over there, arriving in a place where they're no longer in season, Rabbi Yehuda seemed to say, so what that you're now in a place where they're no longer in season? Since I'm coming from a place where they were in season, you can tell the local people if you want those kind of fruits, you'll find them still in season where I came from. But does Rabbi Yehuda not hold from this principle that when you travel from a place of, let's say, leniency to a place of stringency, or in our case, a place where the fruits were still available to a place where they're not available, you have to abide by the local custom? So how is it Rabbi Yehuda appears to be lenient in our Mishnah? Before we go ahead in the Gemara seeking answers, let us glance at the Rashi on the first narrow line. V'les leilu Rabbi Yehuda v'chulei d'mashma. It appears from Rabbi Yehuda, shi'ocho lo marlo ben mokum shelo kolu, leben mokum shekolu, a person who came from a place where they were lo kolu, they were not finished off. In other words, they were still in season. And he arrives in a place where they are kolu, no longer in season. The new arrivee can say v'hove loch af ato mimokum shevesi. You can bring fruits from where I am coming from, where they're still in season. V'tivse shelo kolu shom l'chaya, and there they are still available to the animals in the fields, and hence the din of biur doesn't apply yet. the din of getting rid of the perishvias, as we mentioned earlier. One rids himself of the perishvias that he has in storage when that variety is no longer available to the chayos, to the animals of the fields. But Rabbi Yehuda seems to say, even though you arrived in a place where the fruits are no longer available, you can tell the local people, why don't you bring the fruits from where I brought them? And bring from those, and then eat from those that you bring. Oison peros shelcho sheishlocho babayis asurin. The time of mishum to God lukan. The fruits that you have in your house are also because they grew over here. Ubos zehamokum kolu. But and that's because in this place they are no longer in season. Avolani hevesi es shelimi mokum heter. But I brought my fruits from a place that they were still in season. Ve'enkan machlokes. This won't cause strife or controversy. And which was a reason suggested before for imposing the stringencies of a person from coming from one place to another. But could the person not say this? So this is what Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying to the Tanakhama. Now we ask, the less lay the Rabbi Yehuda the osir mishum chomerhem mokum shaholach l'sham. Does Rabbi Yehuda not hold from the concept that you apply the stringencies of the place in which you arrived, even where there is no controversy or strife that would be aroused by a different behavior? If a person goes from a place where they do not do malacha on the 14th of Nisan in the morning, and he arrives in a place where they do malacha on the 14th of Nisan in the morning, and we say that a person like that shall not do malacha, even though he's now in a place where they do malacha. The time alav mishum machlikesu, the insistence on him desisting from malacha is not a function of arousing strife. The asrina le mishum chomrei mokum shiatsu misham. We nevertheless impose anyway the stringency of the place from where he came. So the question then, in simple terms, is how is Rabbi Yehuda seemingly allowing the new arrivee with his fruits to continue eating based on the claim that he can tell the local folks where the fruits are no longer in season, why don't you bring fruits from where I came from? And our question is, so what? You came from a place of still available. Right now, you're in a place where they're no longer available. Should that be not good enough reason for the new arrivee to destroy that which he has because of Chomrei Hamokom L'Shaholach L'Sham? We see in our markings triangles that begin to appear, and on the side, under our Nosei Mivne heading, the triangle is featured. They represent four gishos lahasbir divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Rishos Seinu, four approaches to explain Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, where he says tsei v'havei loch af atah, where he says to the people where he has now arrived, you too can bring fruits from there. Omar the Gemara, Omar of Shisha Brei Rav Idi, Milso Achriti Ko Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is really addressing something else. The Tanakhama had said something else to which Rabbi Yehuda is reacting. The Hochi Ko Omar. And thusly, the Mishnah should read. And that's why we have a frame around the next few lines indicating this is what the Mishnah is, how it is to be understood. Oy mimokum shelo kalu, lemokum shelo kalu. A third case is someone who is coming from a place where the fruits are still in season and arriving in a place where the fruits are still in season. Veshoma shekalu b'mekomo. And he heard that in his place of origin, they are now no longer in season. Chayov Levayer. So the Tanakhama says he has to get rid of the fruits that he has because he is in effect coming from a place that now the fruits are no longer in season. So he's holding fruits that came from a region where the fruits are no longer in season, hence generating the need for Bior. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Rabbi Yehuda says regarding that case, Tsei v'havei loch af ato mehecho daisinu. the arrivee can say to the local population, where the fruits are still in season over here, and he could say, listen, I brought the fruits from a mokum of heter, because when I left, they were still in season. The ha lo koluluhu, and where I brought the fruits, I brought the fruits from a place that they were not out of season yet. Let's take a look at Rashi. Vishoma shekolu b'mekoimon chayav levayar. The Tanakhama says that this person who heard that they are now no longer in season where he came from, he has to get rid of the fruits that he has. The afagam the ein kan chomrei mokom shiotsu misham. Even though right now the principle of stringency of place from whence he came doesn't apply. Shebishal shiotsa dain loha you know again bohen chomra. When this person left that place, there was still no stringency that applied. The fruits were still in season. Rebuta Omer, Rashi goes on, Rebuta Omer, say, Yochol ze lomar livnei makomo shiyotsu misham. The fellow who's traveling can say to the people, to the people from whence he came, Eini mishana mi minhagchem. I am not doing anything different than your custom. Daho holachtim lomokom shelo kolu. I brought the fruits to a place where they are still in season. You too can go to the place that I arrived and find a lot of fruit still in season. The Gemara continues. Are you suggesting then that Reb Yehuda represents leniency? Lo Omar Reb Yehuda Elo L'chumra. Reb Elazar observes that Reb Yehuda's appearance in the Mishnah is for stringency, not to represent a leniency. Elo Epoch. Eino Chayav Levayar. Here we switch things around, and the Tanakhama is saying that under those circumstances that we described, the person came from a place that the fruits were still in season, arrived in a place that the fruits were still in season, heard that in this place of origin the fruits are now no longer in season. The Tanakhama says, Eino Chayav Levayar. He does not have to get rid of the fruits that he has with him. Reb Yehuda Omer, Sei Vave Loch Af Ato Mehecho Da'aisinhu. The ha kolu lahu. Now we take a look at Rashi. Elo epuch tosefes zu shosafnu ala mishnah. Switch around this additional clause that we added to the mishnah. At the emo oimu mokum shelo kolu, lamokum shelo kolu. Person travels from a place that the fruits were still in season to a place that they are likewise still in season. Vishoma shekolu b'mekoman. And he heard that in his place of origin, they are now no longer in season. Eino chayav levayar. He does not have to get rid of the fruits that he has with him. De'ein kan mishum chomri mokom shiyotza misham. Here there's no room for applying to him stringency of place of origin. Shek shotziyom, when he, the traveler, took the fruits with him, adayin lo neser, they were still not prohibited. Reb Yehuda Omer, Yesh kan zilzul makomo. There is a degradation of his place. The Amri le b'nei makomo horishon. The people from the original place can say, Tsei v'hovei loch me'echo da'isinu, mimokom shevesem. Why not bring more fruits from where you brought these fruits? V'timtza shekvar kolu, and you'll find that they are no longer available. So Reb Yehuda represents a stringency. We turn to the Gemara. Abaye Omar li'olam kedikatoni. Let's glance at Rashi. Li'olam kedikatoni. The lo airi masnisim b'mevi mimekoimoi l'mokum hashove lo. Reb Yehuda says, stay with the original text. And we're not talking about someone who is going from place one, arriving in place two, that have the same status. Elo lemokom she'ein shovelo. Rather, he is arriving in a place that's different than the place of origin. So the Gemara continues with Abaye, who says, keep the Mishnah as it is, v'hochi ko'omar, and thusly, to understand things, oi mi mokom shelo kolu, l'mokom shekolu, v'hechziron l'mokomon, v'adayin lo kolu. A person had carried fruits with him from a place that they were still in season, brought and arrived in a place where they were out of season, and brought them back to the original place where they were still in season. And there's Vaidan lo kolu means, and even now they're still in season. Eino chayav levayer. Tanakama says, you don't have to do bior shvius to those fruits. Rabbi Yehuda omer, tse vovei loch af ato mehecho de aisinu v'ha kolu lehu. Rabbi Yehuda says that he can say, or he could conceivably say, you too bring fruits from where I brought them now, but in the place that I brought them now, they are no longer in season. And as a result of that, they must be burnt. They must be destroyed. The Rashi, V'hochi ko'omar, we're looking at Rashi three lines before they get wide, person who is carrying Shemitah year fruits from a place that they are no longer in season to a place that they are still in season, or vice versa, he has to get rid of the fruits. If he started from a place where they were still in season and went to a place where they were not in season, and went back to his original place, and they were still in season, Eino Chayav Levayer. So the Tanakama, in that case, is lenient. Rabbi Yehuda Machmir, the Amrinon Lei, Rabbi Yehuda is Machmir because they can say to him, Tse v'hove loch afato, mehecho da'isinu hashto, v'ho kolu luhu. Why don't you bring more fruits from where you just came from? And he just came from a place that they were no longer in season. So as a result of that, the fruits that were brought to that place also are labeled as no longer in season. Hence, they would need to have beetwort. We continue in the Gemara. Maskif lo Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi objects to Abaye's explanation. Le Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, says that he has to destroy the fruits. Otu agaba dechamro kaltinu. Are you suggesting that on the back of the donkey being the beast of burden who was carrying the fruits from one place to the other, that the fruits that were on the back of them were caught in the city where they were already out of season? Kaltinu means collected or entrapped in. In this case, it means that the fruits become labeled as kalu, just because he had this interim stay over in the city that it was already kalu. That's hard to accept. Elo omar ravashi. Beplukto dahani tanoi. In order to appreciate the machlokes tanakam and rebuta, we have to learn the following machlokes tanoyim. This source will describe one who pickles three different kinds of vegetables in one jar. And we're dealing again with the laws of Bior Shvius. The three different varieties of items being pickled together have different seasons different dates at which point they become unavailable for the Chayas HaSodeh, which equals the time for beer. Three different Bior dates. The source begins, Disnan, Hakoive Shloisho Kvoshim B'chovis Achas. One who pickles three different types of vegetables in one barrel. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Oichlin Al Horishon. Rabbi Eliezer says that as soon as the first one of the three varieties goes out of season, you have to stop eating all the rest. The fact that they're pickled together makes them one in the same. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Af Al Ho'acharon. Rabbi Yeshua has an extreme leniency, and that you can continue eating up till the date or the time that the last one of these vegetables goes out of season. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Kol Shekola Mino Min HaSode Yevayer Mino Min HaChovis V'Halocha Kidvorov. Rabban Gamliel says you look at each vegetable on its own. That vegetable who's no longer available in the fields, it's no longer in season, so you have to stop eating that one from the pickle jar. And the halacha follows his ruling. Now, how do we take this information and apply it to the machlokas Tanakamo and Reb Yehuda that we saw regarding the person moving from one place to another with his shvius fruits? So Rashi does the job for us. So we look in Rashi, in Dibur Masl Af Al Ho'achron, Al Smach Min Hakolo Achron. Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah said, in this Tanaic source said that you can continue eating the all three varieties up till the time that the last one is no longer in season. V'yochel Mishloshta. Even though the two of them are no longer in season, they're no longer available to the animals in the wild, the Tana of our Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah argue in the following. The Tanakama Sovar Lok Rabbi Yeshua de Mekel, the Tanakama of our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yeshua, who is lenient. Vochi mishtama lemilsei, and thusly we are to understand his teaching. Mimokim shelokolu lemokom shekolu. A person is carrying fruits from a place that they are still in season to a place that they're kolu, finished. They're no longer in season. Kulon chayov levayer. They must be destroyed. Avol kolu miktsasan. If, however, a part of them are no longer in season, oichel af mimin hakolo, Rabbi Yeshua, he can continue eating based on the variety that is still in season. So the Tanakama in our Mishnah is in effect dealing with the same case as Rabbi Yeshua, someone who brought a bunch of different kinds of fruits from a place that they are still in season to a place that they are not in season. So if the place that he arrived is such that none of those fruits are in season anymore, so he has to get rid of the fruits that he brought with him. However, if part of them are still in season, some of them are still in season, he can continue eating based on the fact that one of the varieties is still in season, like Rabbi Yeshua. So, once again, as you can see in the words of Rashi, we're talking about someone that came from a place that they're low kolu, they're still in season, arriving in a place where none of them are still in season, so he's got to get rid of them. However, if he's arrived in a place where even one of them is still in season, he can continue eating. Based on Rabbi Yeshua says, you eat based on the last one to go out of season. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tsei v'havei loch af ato, mei oisoi hamin min hasode, v'arei lo timtze hasode basode v'osur. Ke Rabban Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you look at each individual variety on its own, so that you came from a place, true, that they're not in season anymore, but you arrived in a place where even part of them are not in season anymore. So Rabbi Yehuda says, if you want to eat from a particular fruit, we say go out and see if they're still available in the field. And if that particular variety is not available anymore, even though the others are still available, you have to stop eating that one that is no longer in season. We turn back to the Gemara, after having seen Rav Ashi's explanation indicating that Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama of our Mishnah parallel Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel in this Tanaic source. Ravina Omar, the Plukta Dahanitan, Ravina's fourth approach, he says that the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama parallels the following Machlokes Tanoim. This source deals with dates from a date palm. Let us take a look at Rashi and use him for introductory purposes before we go into the text itself. Oichlin b'tmorim, Rashi says, b'chol eretz Yehuda, you can eat the dates in the Yehuda region. Eretz Yisrael is divided into different regions. There's the Yehuda region and there's a Golil region. And we'll see later on that each region itself was further subdivided into three sub-parts. So the Tanakhama of this source tells us you can eat the dates in all of Eretz Yehuda Ad Shichle Dekel Ho'achron Shebetzoar until the last of the dates are available in Tzoar, Shehi Ir HaTmor. That was a city known for its date production. Utnan Lekamon, we'll see later, Sholosh Arotzos LeBior, there are three regions with regard to the laws of Bior, She'en B'nei Yehuda Ochlin Mishekolu B'chol Eretz Yehuda. The people in the Yehuda region will stop eating a particular variety when they are no longer available in the Yehuda region. V'afal pi shelo kolu b'golil, even though they are not out of season yet in the Golil region. The Golil region was in the northern part of Israel and Yehuda in the southern part of Israel. Aval oichlin heim b'Yehuda v'afilu b'mokom shekolo ad sheichle mokom achron shebechol eretz Yehuda. Let's say in the Yehuda region, as we indicated in passing earlier, that the Yehuda province itself was divided into three subcategories. Let's say in your subcategory they're no longer in season, but in another part of Yehuda they're still in season. You can continue eating the fruits. Lefi shechaya kesheina moitzis kan halach smokam acher, because the animals that live in the wild, if the fruit is not available locally, the animal will seek that out in a different part of that region. Vehi misparneses sham rachmona tolabo lekinel kamon. The Torah makes the laws of shmita and the din of bi'ur dependent on the availability to the chayos. So now, let's go back to the Gemara. Ravina says that the Machlokes, Tanakhama and Rebuta in our Mishnah, regarding the Peros Shvias, parallels the following. Et Tisnan, Oichlin b'tmorim at Shiichle ho'achron shebetzoar. As we saw in Rashi, a person who who lives in the Yehuda region can continue eating the dates, of the Shemitah year dates, until the dates in Tzoar are no longer available. So that when in Tzoar, which was the date capital of the Yehuda region, they are no longer growing there. They're no longer on the they're no longer available there. They're no longer in season over there. So you have to stop eating dates. And as we saw in the Rashi, even though in your immediate region they might not be available anymore, but they're still growing in Tzoar, you can continue eating. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, we continue at the top of Omer Beis, Oichlin al shel bein hakifin v'ein Oichlin al shel bein hashitzin. This too, Rashi will be very helpful. On the top line of Omer Beis, Oichlin al shel bein hakifin. Derech dekolim lios b'ikoron koitzim soviv. The palm tree's nature is such that toward the lower part of the tree there's a thorny section that runs around the tree. Vahainu shitzen, that's the term shitzen that we saw in this Tanaic source. Umin hadekel atzmonheim, they protrude from the tree itself. Ulamala olin shelo, and higher up you have the date leaves. Asuyin kesidron kamin kapos tamorim, they are large cup-shaped leaves, if you will. Uksharuch menashe v'atmorim noflin v'nishorin b'oison kifin. When the wind blows, it will blow the tamorim out from the date clusters, and they'll land on those date leaves. ulamato b'shitzin, and they will also fall to the thorny section. V'koma Rabban Shimon, the cholzman shimitzuyim b'kifin, as long as dates are still on the leafy part of the tree, oichlin me oison shebebayis, you can continue eating the dates that you brought in to your house, your shmita year dates. Aval ein oichlin min habayis al smach oison shebeshitzin. However, you cannot calculate or continue eating your house dates based on dates that exist in the thorny part of the tree. In other words, you might have a situation where they're no longer on the leafy part of the tree, but they are caught in the thorny part of the tree. You cannot rely on them to allow you to continue eating the dates that are in your house. They are inaccessible to the wild animals at that point. Umasnisen hochi komer. Now the tie into our Mishnah. Tanakama, hochi komer Tanakama. Thusly, the Tanakama holds kolo legamri af mibein hashitzin. If the fruit, the dates, are no longer present even in the thorny part, then chayav levayer. Avokolu min akifin vadayin yesh b'shitzin. If the dates are no longer in the leafy part, but they are available in the thorny part, eino chayav levayer. That's still, as far as the Tanakama is concerned, still considered in season. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tsei v'hove loch af ato mimokum heroi litlon v'lo timsa. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says that that one can say to this person that has dates in his house, hey, why don't you go out and get dates from a place that's fit to take them from, namely from the kifin, and you won't find them anything, and you won't find them there anymore. Ulechumra omra Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda's, again, as we indicated on Omid Aleph, he is a more stringent opinion, more limiting opinion. We continue now in the Gemara, and for this section we've already given a bit of background. On the side of the ones with the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written the following. Shalosh Arotzos Labir, the three land regions in Israel that are designated such with regard to the laws of Bior, Peros Shvias, the need to get rid of Peros Shvias. The psukim that address the issue of beer will be featured shortly in the Gemara itself. But as we've said earlier, the whole shiur we've been discussing this point, that is, when the Shemitah year, the seventh year vegetation, goes out of season, that's the sign that if you have Shemitah year products in your house, so that variety that is no longer in season, you have to get rid of from that which you've stored in your house. And the definition of being in season is the item available to the animals in the fields? Do they have access to them because of their being in season? Once they go out of season, you have to get rid of them from, you have to get rid of that variety that's now no longer in season from your house. The source that is quoted, Tanan Hosam, second line from the top, Shalosh Arotzos LeBior. There are three land regions with regard to the law of Bior. Yuda, V'Eiver HaYarden, V'Golil. Yuda is the southern part of Israel. Golil is the northern part. And Eiver HaYarden, that is what we would call the eastern bank of the Jordan River. What is today located in the country known as Jordan, so a part of that area is actually part of the land of Israel. V'sholosh arotzos b'chol achas v'achas, and in each one of these three regions there are three subdivisions. V'loma omru sholosh arotzos l'bior, and why do we speak about three land regions with regard to Bior, which basically, the question is that once you tell me that in each land region there are three subdivisions, so why not just describe Israel as a place of nine regions? Why does the source say that Israel is divided into three regions? So the explanation is, Shiyu Oichlin b'chol achas v'achas, each land region is, people in there are able to eat their Shemitah fruits, ad shiyichle ho'achron shebo, until the last subdivision of each region, the fruits are no longer available there. And as we saw earlier, that would mean that if you live in, let's say, the Golil region, you have to you can can continue eating the peros shvius, the sabbatical year fruits that you've brought into your house, based on the availability in the up till the last point that they are still in season in the Golil area. However, if, let us say, they are no longer available in the Golil region, but they are still available in the Yehuda region, you, in the Golil region, cannot continue eating your fruits. You are dependent on your region and not the neighboring region. Mino hani mili. Rashi explains that the we have a star in the Rashi. Mino hani mili. The oichlin bihuda ad shich leachron shebesholosh arotzu shebo. That you can continue eating in the Yehuda region until the last one is available in any one of the three subdivisions within Yehuda. Aval ein oichlin b'Yehuda al yedei oison shebegolda, but you cannot eat fruits in Yehuda based on the fact that they may still be available in the Golil region. So where do we know this from? The Gemara answers, and it takes a number of lines to develop the answer. Omar of Chamo bar Ukva, Omar of Yossi bar Chanina, Omar Kro. So ultimately the Pasuk is quoted. It says, V'levhemtecho v'lechayo asher ba'artzecho. And we learn from this Pasuk, which is, this Pasuk is saying that the peros shvius are for, not only for you to eat, but for the animals as well. And we darshan, kol zman shechaya oichelis min asada, as long as the animals, the undomesticated animals in the fields can have access to eat from those fruits, ha'achel lebehemo shebabayas, you can feed your domesticated animal that dwells in your house. Kola lechaya asher basada, if it's no longer available to the wild animals, kalei lebehemtecho min abayas, then you have to stop feeding the animals in your house. And stop feeding means not only that, but means get rid of those fruits, the Shemitah fruits that you have, that you had harvested and stored up in your house. Ugemiri, we have a tradition. The Ein Chaya Shebihuda Gedelo al Peros Shebegolil, animals, wild animals that live in the Yehuda region, their sustenance is dependent on the fruits growing in the Yehuda region, and they won't venture to Golil to find food. The Ein Chaya Shebegolil Gedelo al Peros Shebihuda, and likewise, the Chayos of Golil will not derive their sustenance from fruits in Yehuda. Tanu Rabbanan, and here we start a new topic. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading. And you can see we also in our Gemara have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a brand new idea. So on the side of the Gemara, we've written under the nosei heading, Mokom Bi'ur Shel Peros Sheyotzu Meretz Yisrael. Where is one expected to destroy the Shemitah fruits that may have left the land of Israel? Machloikis Tanoim, we'll see a Tanaic controversy. Tanakamo will hold Mizbarin B'chol Mokom. Wherever they are, that's where they are to be destroyed. And once again, assuming that you know that the season is no longer, that particular fruit is no longer in season, and you're outside of Israel, and you have Eretz Yisrael, you have fruits from the land of Israel with you, so destroy them where you are. Rav Shimon ben Elozer, on the other hand, says, Yachzuru l'mekoimon v'yizbaru sham. You have to go back to Israel with those fruits and destroy them in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Peros Shiyotsu Me'eretz Yisrael L'chutz La'aretz. Peros, that's Peros of Shvius, Shemitah year fruits that left the land of Israel and are now outside of Israel. And the season is no longer, they are no longer in season. Misbarin B'chol Mokom Shein, they are to be rid of wherever they are. Rav Shimon Elozer Omer, Yachzuru L'mekoimon V'yizbaru. They are to be brought back to the land of Israel and destroy them in the land of Israel. Shenemar be'artzecha. The Pasuk says, in your land. In your land is in the land of Israel. The Gemara asks, how can be'artzecha be the source for Shimon Elozer ha'afikte? We've already learned something else out from that. And notice we have a little arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. And you align this with the arrow of number of lines up, you see that there Ba'artzecho was darshaned for wherever the fruits are available to the animals in the fields, so then that's, you can still use them for your animals at home. So we used Ba'artzecho already. The Gemara answers, Kari bei ba'aretz ba'artzecha. In other words, the pasuk could have written Ulehemtecha v'chaya asher ba'aretz. The added chaf at the end of the word ba'artzecha entitles me to darshan, to derive these two points of halacha. Otherwise, we have a rule, and you could see the Gemara is assuming that we don't darshan two points from one word. But if there's a nuance in the word, an extra letter or a change of speech, that gives us the right to an additional drosha. Inami, another answer to the question of did we not already use the expression ba'artzecha? The second answer is me asher ba'artzecha. From the word asher, the presence of the word asher entitles me to a second drosha. Rav Safra Nofak me'eretz Yisrael l'chutzaretz. We have a story here with Rav Safra leaving the land of Israel to the diaspora, to outside the land. Havibadei garvo de chamro de shvius, and he had a garvo as a flask. Chamro is wine of shvius. It means wine made from shvius grapes. Lavu bahadei rav huna brei rav ika v'rav kana. Accompanying, lavu is to accompany, together with him was rav huna and rav kahana. Omar lehu, rav Safra asked them, Ika de shmia le minei de rabbi avo. Halacha k'rab Shimon Elazar lo, is there any one of you that have heard in the name of Rabbi Avo? And as have you heard from Rabbi Avo whether the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Elazar that requires the return to Israel in order to destroy that which is no longer in season or not? Or maybe the halacha is not like him. So in the answer to this, interestingly, you have two opposing answers. Two people who claim they heard from Rabbi Avo, and they have different responses. Amar le Rav Kahana, and the reason for these triangles is to point this out, the fact that to illustrate, to highlight the opposite nature of the responses. So Rav Kahana says, Hochi Amar Rabbi Avo, Halacha k'rab Shimon ben Elazar, which is an expression of stringency, that you have to go back. And you have, of course, Rav Safra's got this wine, and from the context of the Gemara, you can see that the wine, the grapes are no longer in season. So that's the sign that he's got to tend to the bior. Now, he wants to know, do I have to go back to Israel with the wine or not? Omar le Rav Huna braid Rav Ika, Hochi Om Rav Avo. And Rav Huna reacts and says, thus says Rav Huna, ain't halacha k'rabbi Shimon Elazar. Quite the opposite, the halacha does not follow him. Omar Rav Safra, nekoit ha klola de Rav Huna biyadoch. Take Rav Huna's approach, the lenient approach. The dayik v'gomar shmaitza mipume de rabbei. Rav Huna, braid Rav Ika, is more diligent in his learning from his teacher. In other words, you've got Rav Huna and Rav Kahana, they both learn by Rabbi Avo, and Rav Safra knows that Rav Huna is extremely diligent, and when he hears something in the lecture, he will go to the Rav and ask him to repeat things just to make sure whether he heard correctly. Did he hear that the yes is a yes and that the no is a no? And this diligent approach to learning is known to be characteristic of another gentleman, another Rav. His name is Rahba of Pumbadisa. Now, we used brackets here. Now, these brackets are not for skipping, but it's sort of to isolate these three lines as not being part of the flow of the discussion, but rather they're brought in to show another party, another famous individual who was very careful with his learning. So that having been said, we continue. We just got finished saying in our Gemara that Rav Safra favored Rav Huna's approach because he was daik v'gomer shmaitza mipume de rabbei, ke rachba de pumbadisa, just like rachba of pumbadisa. Pumbadisa was the name of a place. The Omar rachba marav Yehuda. Now rachba was known to quote his master, his teacher, Rav Yehuda, describing what the Temple Mount looked like by way of structures. Har HaBayis Stav Kofel Hoya, the Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, was surrounded by a wall, and within that wall was a Stav Kofel. A Stav is a series of stone benches, and there was a double column, if you will, double row of these benches that lined the inside of the Harabayas wall. And that's what he's saying, that stav, it was stav kofel hoya, stav lifnim mistav, one row built inner, more inner to the center than the other row. So it was an inner row and an outer row lining the Har HaBayis. Now, Rashi adds here that Rahba was very careful to establish from whom he received his traditions. So you can see Rashi on the last narrow line, Kirachba de Pumbadisa, Shemadakdik Bishmuoso. He was careful, Ladas Mimi Kibla, to know from whom he received a particular teaching. Rabbi Yuda, Sofek Shoma me Rabbi Yuda, O me Rebbe Yuda Nasiya, Davinami Bahudora. And Rahba was sensitive to establishing whether the source of his teaching was Rav Yehuda or another rabbi that lived at the same time, known as Rebbe Yehuda Nasiya. The difference in the names is that the Rav Yehuda is spelled, the word Rav is as it is, Reish Beis, and the other Rav, the other rabbinic figure was Rebbe with a Yud in his name. So Rahba was very careful to establish from whom he received a particular transmission. We continue in the Gemara. Kori ole Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, in referring to Rav Safra, who had ended up with the more lenient ruling, he says, he refers to him the following pasuk: Ami be'etso yishol umaklo yagid lo. Now, on a play on words in this pasuk is as follows: Kol hamekel lo magid lo. He who is lenient, concede to him. So that's what we saw happening over here. We had Rav Safra choosing the opinion of leniency. Now, I wouldn't say that that's some kind of rule of thumb that always one should choose the opinion of leniency, but in this context, Rav Safra knew that the one who was sharing or expressing the opinion of leniency was also someone who was more diligent in his learning. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side, and it reads as follows: Eich Rabbi Loi kotzatz dekel li'etzim b'shvias. How could Rabbi Loi have done what he did? As the Gemara will tell us, he cut a palm tree. He cut branches or a significant part of a palm tree for its wood value, for the wood of the tree. Bizman shehoyu olav kafnios, while there were growing on this dekel, on this palm tree. There were these small, premature, if you will, premature tamarim ketanim, dates. Dates were growing. Now, once again, we're dealing with Shemitah year. Shemitah year is a year which the Almighty ordained for us to benefit from the fruits that are growing on the trees for eating purposes, not for commercial purposes, and certainly not to cut a tree for its wood value when it has fruits on it. And yet we see that Rabbi Loi cut the tree for its wood value, destroying, if you will, or not benefiting at all from the fruits. And here he cut the wood from the palm tree with young dates growing on it. So that's a very questionable practice on his part. So the Gemara investigates this. Now, structurally, we will notice a house form that appears in alternating directions. So on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, the house form with the point facing up represents a kushya, and inverted, it represents a tirutz, an answer. So we continue in the Gemara. Rav Eloi kotz kafnaisa de shvias. Rav Eloi cut a palm tree for its wood value. Now, let us just assume he didn't chop the whole tree down, but he pruned the tree for its branches and for whatever wood value it has. While on those branches, there were kafnaisa. Kafnaisa are young dates. Hechi ovid hochi. Now, notice we have a long question. How could he do thusly? La'ochla omar achmona v'lo lehefsid. The Torah says, la'ochla, for eating purposes. When you're in the Shemitah year and you have a fruit-bearing tree, the fruit-bearing tree is to be enjoyed only for eating purposes. How could he cut off branches with these young dates on it and end up thereby basically destroying the dates? The chitema, you might try to justify Rav Eloi's behavior, hani mili hecho de nochis lepira, that the prohibition of cutting the wood from a tree with fruits on it, it's only when the fruits have entered. Nochis means they've entered the category of development or the level of development that would enable us to categorize them as fruits. That's something that would be legally called a fruit. Rashi says, "Nochus lepira piri shenigmar osur lafsido." You might try to argue that only a complete fruit, a totally ripe fruit, is something that is forbidden to destroy. Aval hechad lo nochus lepira, but as long as it hasn't entered the category, the legal category of fruit, lo, there would be no objection. Well, you can't say that. The Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Baravua, Hani Maschili de Orlo. Orlo is another area of halacha which also depends on fruit status. Orlo is the prohibition of eating fruits during the first 3 years of a tree's life, of a fruit tree's life. Rav Nachman says, Hani Maschili de Orlo. Asiri, Rashi, second line under the Tosfos column, Rashi says, Masli dola shomer hagodel svivos hatmorim, bekotnon kein pikas, hagodel svivos egoze yar hadakos. Asiri, mishum orlo. We're talking about a type of a shomer that Rashi made reference to is a standard example of shomer would be a fruit's peel. However, the concept of shomer lepri can also refer to any type of like blossom that grows or growth that appears on fruits, even if that particular growth doesn't stay on the fruit till the very end of its development. Now, orla is a halacha that prohibits one to benefit from the fruits, and not only the fruits, but also the shomer, the shells of fruits, the peels of fruits, and other things that are categorized as a shomer lepri. But we'll see in a moment that something has to be categorized as a pri, as a fruit, in order for it to have a shomer. So Rashi continues saying that we say that this maschli de orla, which is a little growth that appears on dates when they're young, and they are forbidden mishum orla de lohavu ke'etz eloshem peri alam. The fruit label applies to them. Hoil dinasu shomer lepri, since they are in service of the fruit to guard the fruit. Now, the concept of a shomer lepri is a broader concept than simply the peels or shells of fruits. It includes other growths that appear on the fruits, as we said, even if that particular growth doesn't stay on it till the very end. So Rav Nachman says this growth called maschali, which is this growth that appears on young dates, are usur. They're usur hoyo v'nasu shomer leperi, because they have reached a category, a halachic category called shomer lepri. V'shomer leperi emas havi. At what point does a fruit have something called a shomer? B'kufri. Kufri is kafnios. It's the same expression that we had before. That's that which Rav Eloi was dealing with. So maschali, of the maschali, those called growths on the dates, are categorized as such when the dates are at the kufri stage of development, very young in their development. The kokori lahu peri, and at that stage they're called peri, hence the term shomer lepri. It's a shomer of that which is categorized as a pri. What do we see from all of this? We see that the halacha that one must preserve the peiros shvi'is and not destroy them doesn't apply only to fully developed fruits, fully mature fruits, but even when they're very early in their development, one must guard them and not allow them to be destroyed, and not destroy them as what Rav Eloy seemed to have been doing by cutting off branches of the palm for the wood value and having no interest in eating those fruits. The Gemara answers, Rav Nachman, who just described very young fruits as being categorized as fruits, well, Rav Nachman was based on a Tana that Rav Eloy wasn't going to follow. Rav Nachman Domar Kreb Yoisi Disnan, and we have a Tanaic source, but right after this Tanaic source, you see the Gemara points out, Upligi Rabbonon Olay. So that Rav Nachman, who was describing fruits as being fruits at a very young stage, that's Rav Nachman, who he's based on Rav Yossi. But the Rabbonon disagree. So where is the source that Rav Yossi appears? The Snan, Rav Yossi Omer, Smodar Osir Mipnei Shuhu Peri. Smodar is a grape in its very young stage of development. So that if you're dealing with, let's say, laws of oral law, for example, which also, as we said before, are dependent on categorizing something as a fruit, if a grape vine has smodar level development grapes on it, so you cannot benefit from that when it's in its first 3 years of development of the tree's life, that is, because that is a pre. However, the Rabbonon disagree that such an early stage of development is not called a pre, and that's Upligi Rabbonon Ole. They disagree with Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Eloy will go like the Rabbonon. So therefore, something that's in its very early stage of development, like the kafnios before of the date palm, they would be like the Rabbi Yossi's, like that would be something like the smodar by the grapes, and according to the Rabbonon, that's not called a pre. Therefore, he is entitled during the Shemitah year to cut off the branches and not take into consideration that whatever is growing there now will turn into complete fruits later on. Because right now, they're not categorized as fruits. We now see a house shape with the point facing up, introducing a question on that which we just said. So, just to review, in order to defend Rav Eloy, in the face of the question that was based on a comment of Rav Nachman, we defended him by saying that Rav Nachman doesn't pose a challenge to Rav Eloy. Rav Nachman represents Rav Yossi, and Rav Eloy will be following the Rabbonon. However, we're going to bring all of this into question now. You'll notice we have a long question marking. However, the essence of the question is very, very short. You can see that in another two lines, a bracketed section will appear. We've used an angular brackets, and this will take us down Nun Gimel Amud Aleph around six lines from the top, at which point the brackets closes and the Gemara will answer. So in our first read-through, we're just going to focus on the question itself. Maskif lo Rav Simi min Ardo. Rav Simi challenges the answer we just gave. Umi pligi Rabbonon olei de Rav Yossi b'shar ilonos. Who says that Rav Yossi and the Rabbonon disagree with regard to other kinds of trees? There is an argument between Rav Yossi and the Rabbonon in the realm of grapes, where Rav Yossi says something that's very young, a smodar level of development, is called a pre, and the Rabbonon will tell you, no, only a bosar level, which is another, a later level of development. Only at that point is a grape categorized as a pre. However, with regard to other kinds of trees, we don't find any machlokis Rav Yossi and the Rabbonon. And that being the case, we know Shitas Rav Yossi, as we saw reflected by Rav Nachman, when the fruits are at a very early stage of development, like the kafnios. Remember, Rav Nachman made reference to the Maschili d'Orla, and we saw that the Maschili d'Orla were present on the gates when they were at the Kafnios stage of development. And that point is something that is universally accepted, so that structurally in our Gemara, when the first long question appeared and Rav Nachman was the basis of the question, at this point we're saying that question really remains. Let us skip the angular bracketed section to finally figure or see what governed Rav Eloy's behavior. And you notice on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, there's an inverted house 6 lines from the top. Ella, Rav Eloy b'denischani cuts. Rav Eloy was cutting a date palm that, in the language of Rashi, it's called Tmorim Shel Dekel Zohar. It's called a male palm. The male palm tree has berries that grow on it. There, we can call them dates of a male palm tree. However, the nature of those dates is that they never ripen. What people do with those things is they'll harvest them and put them in vessels made of palm leaves, and they ripen in that context. So, as far as Rav Eloy will say, stunting the growth of a date by cutting off the branches at an early stage of the month, thereby ruining the date and not enabling it to develop into a full fruit, which is that which you are allowed to benefit from during Shemitah years. We said before, la'ochla means that the fruits of Shemitah are there for eating and not to remove them when they're premature, thereby stunting their growth and not deriving full benefit from them as fruit. In this case, in the Nischani, they aren't ever going to develop into full-fledged fruit. So Rav Eloy wasn't being mafsid, he wasn't causing any loss, so to speak, to the realm of Shemitah fruits. Now we go back to our Gemara, at which point we said Rav Simi Bar Nahar said that in effect the Rabbonan and Rav Yossi are not in disagreement other than with regard to grapes. But with regard to other trees, they agree that a fruit will be considered a fruit even at an early stage of its development. And in the bracketed section, we are now going to show that the Rabbonan do not disagree with Rav Yossi other than the case of grapes. V'hotnan. At what point is one restricted from cutting trees for their wood value on a Shemitah year? And the problem with cutting trees for their wood value on Shemitah year is that you're ruining the fruits. You're preventing the fruits from growing, developing, maturing, and eventually harvesting them. So from what point in the fruit development is the wood cutting prohibited? Beishamai omrim kol ha'ilonos mi sheyotziu. Rashi says at the bottom line, tchilas ha'olin bimei nisan. As soon as fruit trees in the spring season start producing leaves, that's it. It's that. And from that point, you cannot cut the trees for their wood value. That's Beishamai's opinion. Generally speaking, we emphasize more Beis Hillel's opinion, as we will do now. Well, Beis Hillel Omrim, Hacharuvin, and but what Beis Hillel does is he doesn't have a blanket ruling like Beis Shammai, but each type of fruit tree has a different point at which the prohibition of cutting them for their wood sets in. So he says, Hacharuvin Mishi Yishar Sharu. The choruv tree, sometimes translated as a carob tree, that's when there appears to be a type of chain work of choruvin. Apparently that's the way they look when they are very early in their development. The hagifanim, the grapevine, And here we have that which is important for us. That's why the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, the first word, we've dashed, underlined it, Mishe Yagriu. From the point that they are Yagriu. Rashi says, Mishe Godlu Anovim Ksas, when they grow a little bit, Vinikru Girua, that's the name of grapes in their early stage of development. And later in the Gemara, the Gemara will point out that they are the size of a white bean. We continue, Vahazesim Mishe Yonitsu, when it comes to the olive tree, at the point that they reach this thing, this level of development called Hanotza. Ushar Kol Hoilonus Mishe Yotsiu, all other kind of trees, the prohibition of cutting them is Mishe Yotsiu. Now, this is the same expression that Beis Shammai used regarding the emergence of leaves. The Omer of Asi, Hu Bosar, Hu Girua. Rav Asi points out that the Yagriu word in this source at the top line is interchangeable with Bosar. And this Bosar is a particular level of grape development. And we skip the bracketed section for a moment. Shi'uro ke pul halavon. And the size of a grape at that point is the size of a white bean. In the brackets there's language that's not clear and it's corrected, but we read the final version. So we'll go over the brackets now. The Rav Asi said, Hu bosar hu girua, hu pul halavon. This grape is a white bean. Pul halavon salkadaita? What do you mean it's a white bean? We're talking about grapes, not beans. Eloemo shi'uro kepul halavon. The reference to the white bean is simply to serve as an analogy or a benchmark for the size of a grape when it's at the bosar stage. Uman shamis leidomar bosar in smodar lo, and who holds that a grape is considered a fruit? It's considered having a fruit category to it with all of the practical halachic ramifications that we've discussed already. The dinim of Shvius, the dinim of Orla. Who holds that Bosar is the standard at which point a fruit gains its label as a fruit, and not Smodar, Smodar being an earlier stage? Well, Rabbanon, that's the opinion of the Rabbanon. Vikotoni, and the Rabbanon are saying, Shar kol ilonus mishiotziu, all other trees, it's at that very early stage when the leaves start coming out. So certainly what Rav Eloy was doing was very questionable. He was pruning the date palm at a point that was already forbidden because it had reached a stage that it would be considered usher to prune trees on Shvius because of your being mafsid, you're causing a loss of the fruits. The Gemara answers, Ela Rabaloi bedinischani kotz. What Rabaloi was doing was pruning a male date palm whose we'll call them these male dates, never develop any further. They emerge as they grow to a certain small size and they never mature on the tree. There is an artificial way to mature them, as we saw before in the Rashi. They can be taken off and ripened in date leaf baskets. But as far as a fruit on the tree is concerned, you, by his taking them off at that point, he's not stunting their growth, which would have otherwise been usur to take to cut branches with fruits that haven't fully developed on the Shemitah year. But he didn't do that because he was dealing with nischani. These are male dates that never ripen in the first place. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.